Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week on Talk Nation Radio, Pat Alvizo and David Hartzo. First, it is my pleasure to welcome to Talk Nation Radio, Pat Alvizo. Pat is the National Coordinator of Military Families Speak Out, CMFSO.org on the internet. It is a national organization with members across the United States who have already since September 11th, 2001. As a mother of an active duty Marine, Pat Alvizo speaks on behalf of military families nationally and has helped lead three delegations to the White House. She has counseled thousands of military families, Gold Star families, and military members, providing support services and creating forums and opportunities for them to speak out against the unjust wars in the Middle East. Her 40 years of experience in the classroom has also allowed her to serve on the steering committee of the National Network Opposing the Militarization of Youth. Pat Alvizo, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you, David.
It's great to have you on here. NOMI, the last organization I mentioned, is familiar to our listeners. We've had Pat Elder on as well. What has MFSO been up to in recent months?
Well, we're just freshly back from the Veterans for Peace National Convention in Berkeley, and our campaigns have included, of course, trying to get all the candidates to talk about the war. They don't even mention Afghanistan. So it was wonderful to catch up with Andrew Bacevich and get his thoughts. We're also helping to promote Barbara Lee's effort to get a full debate in Congress to get the authorization for the use of military force debated and voted on as required in the Constitution. We're putting a lot of effort into that because,
Which authorization, Pat? There's so many wars going on, it's hard to even list them all.
Exactly.
Which one are you referring to?
Well, now they're adding Syria to it, of course, but, you know, we're looking for anything. You know, of course, we started with Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're working with her to try to get something more expansive, but whatever she puts out there to get the debates going again, she did get a little traction last time,
uh-huh.
But the timing was good, so we're hoping to get her to put something out there to help her to get something out there soon that will be more expansive. But she's always been on this particular issue strong and very forward thinking and trying to get her alliances together in Congress. So we're working with her on that, and we're currently also trying to correct some injustices that are been happening, other than the obvious maligning of Gold Star families that we're hearing from our candidate Trump, from Republican candidate Trump. We're trying to correct a situation where our Gold Star family members, as everybody knows, there's a high suicide rate among those who have served in our military or are serving in our military, 22 a day, one
yeah.
active duty, and one of our family members is not getting a letter of condolence because her son committed suicide last year while on a base. Not on the base itself, but in his home on the base, so in Colorado Springs. So they're not getting a letter of condolence because you get a letter of condolence. Apparently, DOD policy says you get a letter of condolence from the president if you commit suicide in country in a combat zone, but not if you do it at home. Now, the whole thing is absurd, and, of course, the idea of a letter of condolence isn't going to make much of a difference, but it is a point we're trying to make that, you know, even up at the top, no one wants to discuss or recognize the high suicide rate and why these wars are a part of why the suicide, the moral injury that it causes, is not being discussed or recognized. So that's another thing we're working on.
Yeah, I'm interested, Pat, that you bring up this insulting of a Gold Star family from here in Charlottesville, Virginia, by presidential candidate Donald Trump, because the response from the Democratic side, the liberals, almost seems to have been, well, Donald Trump is insulting Iraq War veterans. The Iraq War now must have been noble and heroic. I mean, this sort of reversal based on partisanship. How do you How do you handle these sorts of divergent views, and how do you walk the line between people who are obviously supportive of the military because they're in it, and us abolitionists who want to do away with the military?
Well, I think many people would be surprised when you talk to military families, not in a public area, even the Blue Star Family Organizations. Most of us that have seen war firsthand do not want these wars anymore. So it's not that difficult. And yes, we are being used. We're tired of the political parties, all of them, using this support the troops to get us away from the truth of these disastrous, tragic wars. And the toll that military families, less than 2% of us in around the country are military families, we don't get heard very often. And so they like to use us when these, especially during political campaigns, and we're tired of that. And so it is a fine line, but once we get started and start, you know, we've had many people interview us since that comment was made by Mr. Trump, and a lot of our families that have, especially the Gold Star families who don't believe in these wars, when they get interviewed, that's when they start talking about the real cost of war and why we should end them now and bring our troops home.
Yeah, so you're going to be part of a workshop on this and related topics at No War 2016, the conference and events that World Beyond War is planning for September in Washington. People can go to worldbeyondwar.org. Tell us what this workshop is going to be about, who's going to be doing it with you, and what we can expect.
Well, I'm very honored to be able to be on a committee with some great people. Pat Elder, who I also a member on the NOMI board, and Maria Santelli. Maria Santelli comes from the Center of Conscience in War, and Pat Elder is definitely with this great group that works on resistance and the deceptive practices of military recruiters. And he's the national director of the Coalition to Protect Student Privacy. A lot of people don't realize that if we're going to get serious about stopping the war culture, let's go back to the high schools. And these people do. They are part of a group, and so am I, of people that are into the high schools and even down to elementary schools. And we hear of the amount of work and basically just so much propaganda that our students are getting to promote this military culture, that we get into the schools and we bring our people in, military families and veterans in particular are brought into the classroom as well, to combat veterans, Gold Star families who really know what war is like. And we expose the myth of what war is like and let the students know that it's not these military recruiters that are out here trying to make it look like you're being patriotic, you know, preying on young people who are just hanging out at lunch, walking around pretty much unaccompanied, talking to students all over campuses across our country into joining the military and focusing heavily on minorities and poor people. Poor students trying to just think about what they're going to do in their senior year, and tell them that to join the military means they're going to get a job and a career, which we know isn't true.
Yeah.
So we're out here trying to let our young people know every day in the classroom that there's another story to this, and it's a bit of a trick to get into the high schools, but there's many people that are doing this good work. And we encourage people to come to our workshop and come to the conference and learn how you can help this movement. It's really rewarding work. You can be a watchdog for your family and other children that are in your local schools. There's something that everybody can do to help inform our youth that they don't need to join just to get a job, and the promises the recruiters make just are not true. They don't pay for your college. I mean, there's many, many, many exceptions for that people just don't know about, and that's what we're out to to get the word out, but also in this conference, we expect to see so many other great activists that are basically a think tank of activists that are coming together to think of ways that we can stop this war culture.
Wonderful. I am looking forward to it. You mentioned, Pat, that the wars are almost absent from the presidential election and other news coverage. There was this past week on CNN a so-called town hall with the Green Party candidates, Jill Stein and Jammu Baraka, where they brought up the issues of war. And just about every time they got that serious discussion going, the CNN guy would ask about, tastes in music, or do you believe in God? Do you believe in vaccines? And sort of change the subject to something stupid. You guys have been going around to events and bird dogging the candidates. What are you finding useful in terms of getting this subject even into the conversation?
Well, we don't try to get into the particulars of other issues at all. We just stick to the same mantra. Why are you not talking about the war? We give information about how many have died. We ask them questions, but we feel very strongly about not making sure that people don't use us, which they try to do. You know, even Trump people have tried to come in different clothing and try to pretend like they care about us. But we know none of them do because they don't talk about it. So we just try to tell our story in there somewhere, and that's what gives us validity. And that's what's really important, that, you know, that people bring military families and combat vets and Gold Star families into the discussion, whether we're bird dogging the candidate or whether we're in the classroom, because people can't argue with that. We know what we saw. We know what happened to us, and the young people listen, and so do people that are, we may not get the cameras, unless we, you know, have those, you know, something very exciting happen where there's a fight or a hustle, but we're willing to take that chance and be in the crowd because that's where we'll get heard.
Is MFSO growing or shrinking now? I know most of the peace movement struggled from, 2006 or 2007 on in comparison with 2002 through 2005, largely for partisan reasons. But here we are with this quiet, almost unknown Cold War building up with Russia, encirclement of China, militarization of Africa and the Pacific, a president bombing seven countries that he openly brags about. What is MFSO experiencing in terms of growth, and what do you expect in the months ahead?
Well, one of our problems was, of course, when we had a Democratic candidate become president, and people believed for a long time that President Obama was going to stop the wars. And it's taken a while for people to get their footing and realize that they don't have to play that game of partisan politics anymore. It doesn't matter what political belief you have. If the wars are wrong, that's what you have to stick to. And so we lost quite a few members at that time period because the word was going around like, well, we don't want to give them time. We don't want to make it hard for them, but we have learned. You know, those are us that are hanging in there, and we're on a growth spurt now because people have come to realize that these are forever wars. We're not going to be able to stop them unless we get together, like you're providing this forum for us for all of us that have been doing this work to get together and plan something to get us back. To get us all back on the map.
To be continued, Pat Alvizo, I wish we had hours to go on. Thank you very, very much for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you.
It is my great pleasure to welcome back to Talk Nation Radio David Hartso. David Hartso is a co-founder of World Beyond War and the author of Waging Peace, Global Adventures of a Lifelong Activist. He has organized peace efforts in places including the Soviet Union, Nicaragua, the Philippines, and Kosovo. He co-founded the Nuremberg Actions, blocking munitions trains carrying munitions to Central America back in the 1980s. He co-founded the Nonviolent Peace Force in 2002. 2, which has nonviolent peace workers operating all over the world. He has been arrested for nonviolent civil disobedience over 150 times, and he is just back from a trip to Russia, engaging in citizen diplomacy in Russia during this newly heightened Cold War. And David Hartso will be speaking at No War 2016, the events being planned in September in Washington, D.C., that you can find at worldbeyondwar.org. David, welcome back to Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
Great to have you here. What did you learn from meeting with Russians? Were you able to speak with whoever you wanted, and what was their perspective?
Well, we were able to talk with all kinds of Russians, all the way from journalists to teachers and professors to students, and, business people, mayors of cities, etc. So I guess I've been to Russia 6 times before over the last 55 years, and the Russian people deeply want peace. They lost 27 million people in the Second World War, and the last thing they want is any more war. But they're very worried about American and NATO troops and tanks and bombing planes on their borders. Even though the U.S. committed to Gorbachev back in 1991 that in return for the Soviet support of German reunification, that NATO would not move 1 foot eastward. But we've moved hundreds of miles eastward and are right on the Russian border with carrying out military exercises, or building a new anti-ballistic missile site in Romania, which borders Russia. And the Russians see this as a possible first strike weapon. And what struck me in comparison to how the Russians are feeling about all this military activity on their border, how would Americans feel if the Russians had their troops and tanks on the Mexican and Canadian borders with bombing planes that are nuclear weapon capable? Up in the air, a few feet from our border.
But those would be evil weapons, wouldn't they, David? Whereas the U.S. and NATO weapons are peaceful weapons. I mean, I watched a video recently of the man who was the U.S. ambassador to the Soviet Union back at that point, recently at a conference with Putin, telling Putin that these new missile bases were not threats to Russia. On the contrary, they were jobs programs. They were creating jobs in the United States in the military industries. I mean, shouldn't that make the Russians feel better?
Well, I think if you look at every war in history, both sides always see their weapons as purely defensive, as purely to uphold the peace. And the other side has the bad weapons, and I think that is a lie, as you know from your book. All weapons, and especially the weapons in this modern era, can kill thousands of people, and nuclear weapons could put an end to life on our Earth. So, no, I don't buy that, and I don't think the Russian people do, and I don't think the American people would buy that if, even if the Russians said that their bombing planes and their tanks on our borders were for peace. That's not reality.
Yeah. So we're going to have this conference in the end of September in Washington with you and Sharon Tennyson and Kathy Kelly and a number of people who were on this trip to Russia, and we'll have a workshop about building better relations with Russia, and you'll be speaking about war abolition, and you'll be emceeing a session about transition to peaceful industries. What can we expect to hear, those who can make it to Washington, D.C., and those who watch the live stream of these events?
Well, Well, I'm also speaking, I think it is Saturday morning, on ending war and an idea whose time has come. I think the American people and the people of the world have suffered so much from wars. And you look at the millions of refugees in the Middle East right now from wars that our government says we're just trying to help create the peace in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria. But the reality is massive devastation and death and people getting thrown out of their homes. So we are tired of war, and war has not worked. You look at any of the wars in the last many, many decades, things seem to just get worse rather than in any way making them better. Back in Vietnam, we said we had to destroy a village to save it. Well, that's what war does. It destroys the villages to save it. And from the perspective of people there, and I think any objective observers on the outside, destroying it does not save it. So the wars are not working, so why continue to put $1 trillion a year into wars and preparations for wars? And there are viable alternatives. And World Beyond War has written a book on an alternative security strategy where we've tried to bring together the ideas. And people say, well, what if we don't have war, what is there to create security? Well, we lay out in that book, which we'll also be discussing at this conference, what are some of the viable alternatives. Which include, when you have a conflict, rather than going to war, let's sit down at the negotiation table and try to listen to what both sides are saying and thinking and feeling, and then find a way to try to meet the needs of both sides, not impose our truth on the other side, which don't want to hear our truth.
Yeah, we also will have the second edition, as you know, of that book finished by this conference and up on the website with the first edition and available. We'll be giving it away to whoever is attending the conference. But I was recently accused of being a lover of Bashar al-Assad because I objected to U.S. bombing and Russian bombing and Syrian bombing in Syria. And I defended someone who had been on a similar trip to yours to Russia, who had been to Syria and met with Assad. And this person exclaimed, "Would you meet with someone like Assad? Would you meet with someone like Putin or Hitler?" And I said, "Of course I would." But it seems that the attitude now in the United States is that you shouldn't, to even meet or have any association with some evil demon, is to put yourself on their side and in support of bombing the United States. What do you make of this phenomenon?
Well, I think it's a whale of a lot better to talk with people than to bomb each other, and to question American policy in Syria or any other government question in Syria is what we need more. Whistleblowers who are serving a long time in jail or exile from this country because they have told the truth, unfortunately get in big trouble. They should be seen as our best patriots. I think Ellsberg, who exposed the Pentagon Papers, said that he wished that he could have that he had spoken out and written the Pentagon Papers or published the Pentagon Papers years before, millions of lives could have been saved. Well, I think questioning our government's policies or any government's policies, especially when they're at war and bombing people, we need to listen to those people and not just say, "Well, you're part of the enemy if you are questioning our policies."
Yeah, Dan Ellsberg.
So thank you, David, for continuing to to speak out and try to raise tough questions, which aren't always appreciated.
Well, same to you. And, you know, Ellsberg has also said that a lot of the crimes back in the day are now open and not secret anymore. The lawless bombing of numerous countries is just standard policy, and it's knowable, but it's not often discussed on the corporate media. You know, how are we going to reach more people? And I know that at the end of these events in Washington, D.C., we're going to have a nonviolent action and invite everyone to join in some sort of nonviolent protest. Is that a way that we can reach more people, or what do you recommend that people do?
Well, one, people need to believe that that ending war is possible, and not buy into the idea that because there's been wars for thousands of years that there will always have to be wars. Second, we need to not just have that idea, we need to act on it and talk about it with our neighbors and friends and family. And third, we need to speak out and to act and say to our members of the Congress and the President and people in the State Department and to the media that we won't put up with this anymore. And similar to the civil rights movement, the anti-Vietnam War movement, nonviolent action to resist and to say no to the war machine or to injustice, that is the tool of the poor, of the people. And my friend George Lakey has just written a book called Viking Economics about how the 99% took power from the 1% in Norway and Sweden by nonviolent means. Well, we who want an end to war are, I would say, over 95% of the people in the world. We need to realize that we are the massive majority, and it's the war makers and the politicians that want war that are the very small minority. So if we don't just sit at home and sulk about it, but get out in the streets and speak out and demand that our government listen to the people, we will be heard. And as President Eisenhower said many years ago, he said, "I'd like to believe that the people of the world want peace so much that governments will have to get out of the way and let them have it." Well, let's take Eisenhower's suggestion and get out and demand that our governments listen to the people.
Yeah, and nudge it out of the way. Very well said, David Hartsoe. Appreciate everything you're doing and look forward to seeing you at No War 2016. People can sign up to attend or watch the live stream at worldbeyondwar.org. David, thanks for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you, and we'll look forward to seeing many of you at the conference.
This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. All past shows can be heard at davidswanson.org. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. If you are listening to a nonprofit station, please support that station. Talk Nation Radio is funded by contributors at davidswanson.org. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Until next time.